Good morning, City View family. It's great to have our children out here today. It's so colourful, so vibrant. I love it. I love having you guys here. If you're here, children, just give a thumbs up so I can see how many we've got. We've got lots of children here today. That's great. Now, you've all received your packs like this. And inside it, well, inside the clipboard, is some pictures of a cat and a lion. But there is also right at the back what I have called Sermon Bingo. It's a very fun game, okay? So we've got words. They're random words. They seem like random words on a sheet. And what you guys can do today is, as you're listening to my sermon, you can cross off those words as you hear them, okay? So once you've crossed off all your words at the end, or you've coloured me in a beautiful colour in of a kitty cat or a lion, you can bring that over to me and I will give you a prize. Now, these are not just a little chalky today. We've got really good prizes, and all my prizes are actually to do with what we're going to talk about today. And this is an example. So we've got a Lion King Pez there, okay? So make sure you either do your sermon bingo or you colour in one of your sheets and bring it to me after the service, okay? But with your bingo, make sure that you don't cross off a word that hasn't been said, okay? Because there is a trick word or two in there that I might not say. Okay, because I don't want anyone calling bingo out in my sermon today, okay? So don't call out bingo because you've not got all the words crossed off. There's one or two words in there that won't be crossed off, okay? And some of these words I'm going to say multiple times. You only need to cross them off once, okay? Great. I remember when I was a kid back in the 90s, they had these kitten and cat posters that were really popular. And they looked something like this. Have you got that kitten scripture picture, Jordan? Okay. So as you can see, the picture is of a common domestic house cat or kitten. And the proper, more scientific name, and Nina's going to like this, is Felis catus. Okay. Felis catus. And this image also has a beautiful scripture from the Bible. And does anyone remember these, or am I alone? You remember these? Okay, so you're from, Elise is from my kind of generation, all right. So these particular posters, they weren't really my thing, to be honest. I didn't think much of cats, and it bothered me how the scripture didn't have anything to really do with the picture, and especially seeing as though the domestic Felis catus isn't even mentioned in the Bible. The Egyptians, however, seemed to really like cats. And cats were their cherished pets, and some were even mummified. Cat mummies. Does anyone want to see a cat mummy? Oh, you guys are gross. Okay, but I've got a cat mummy. Have you got that cat mummy for me, Jordan, there? Just for fun. Yes, there's a cat mummies. Now, even though the Felis catus isn't specifically mentioned in the Bible, it's much bigger, greater, more majestic, roaring, not meowing relative the lion is. Can I have that roaring lion, please, Jordan? Revelation 5:5 describes Jesus as the lion. And it says, "Stop weeping. Look, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory." The victory. And the victory of Jesus is that he conquered the grave. Amen? He died and rose again in victory over the enemy. For who? For us, for our sins, okay? I want to read you a scripture in Matthew 18, 1-4. And I actually put this on our lovely cat poster before. This scripture in my NIV Bible is titled, how to be the greatest. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So why on this earth are we always trying to be bigger, to make ourselves bigger? We think bigger means better, and it clearly doesn't win us a key into the kingdom of heaven. You see, the world's greatness is not the same in God's kingdom. Greatness looks very different in God's eyes. People here on earth measure greatness by how big their social media following is. Hey, children, how many followers they have, or how much they get paid, how high their education is, how large their muscles are. Being on top of the world means being the best at something or the most famous or popular. However, in the kingdom of heaven, those who are small and humble and trusting like little children are the great ones. Put your hand up if you know someone at school or wherever who always brags or likes talking about how good they are. I can see some hands. Trying to make themselves look bigger and better. They're the fastest runner. They're the best dancer, the best football player, best at maths, best at Minecraft. Who's the best at Minecraft? Anyone the best at Minecraft here? Some people not only brag about how good they are, but they like to tell you how you're not very good. So they bring you down to make themselves look bigger. They want you to think that they're a roaring lion and you're just a little kitty cat. You see, Satan likes this plan. He likes to make us feel like being smaller or less is a bad thing. Matthew 19:30 says, and these are the words of Jesus, "But many who are the greatest now will be the least important then, and those who seem least important now will be the greatest then." When I was about 11 years old, I had this music teacher, kids, and I loved music, I loved singing, and she told me in front of the whole class that I was never going to be the best at anything. But children of God, I want to tell you something. You don't need to be the best or the greatest in the world when you have a God who is far better and far greater than the world in you. And I'm going to say that again. You don't need to be the best or the greatest in the world when you have a God who is far better and greater than the world in you. 1 John 4:4 says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. So that's a beautiful scripture. He's great in you, okay? You are God's children. You are God's son or daughter, and he is in you. Now, I'm just going to show you a little clip from The Lion King now. Now, this is 90s Lion King. I'm from the 90s, children. I'm sorry I've not got the new one. And actually, the 90s Lion King is better than the new one. I think so. I think it is better. So we're going to show the 90s Lion King. And I think it's very relevant in what we're talking about today. So.
You know my father?
Correction. I know your father.
I hate to tell you this, but he died a long time ago.
Nope, wrong again.
He's alive, and I'll show him to you. You follow old Rafiki, he knows the way. Come on.
Don't dawdle, hurry up!
Hey, whoa, wait.
Come on.
Oh,
That's not my father. It's just my reflection.
No. Look hard. You see, he lives in you.
Simba, you have forgotten me.
No. How could I?
You have forgotten who you are, and so forgotten me. Look inside yourself, Simba. You are more than what you have become. You must take your place in the circle of life.
How can I go back? I'm not who I used to be.
Remember who you are. You are my son. And the one true king. Remember who you are.
No, please, don't leave me.
Remember.
Father.
Remember.
Don't leave me.
Remember.
Remember that when you accept God as your father and Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he lives in you. You're inviting him in. And after Jesus died and rose again and then went up to heaven to be with the Father, he sent his Holy Spirit to be in us. John 14, 15 to 17 says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." This is the Holy Spirit. "The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." The Lion King, Jesus, sent his Spirit to be with us. So children, the Lion lives in you. Today, we're going to talk about two children in the Bible, one boy and one girl. And these children, they were considered so small and insignificant by the world that they weren't even named in the Bible. A bit like our Felis Catus, hey? But God fulfilled his great big plans through them. These children weren't famous or great by worldly standards. They were commoners to the world, not royalty, okay? Our first story is from John 6, and it's titled in my Bible, "Jesus Feeds 5,000. Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?' He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 'It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each person to have one bite.' Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. And he said, 'Here is a boy. Here is a boy.'" The Amplified version actually said, "Here is a little boy. Little boy. Here is a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" A little bit of fish and a little bit of bread Sounds like a small kitty cat lunch to me. Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. There would have been more women and children, so there were more than 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed it to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Jesus' disciple Philip basically told Jesus that feeding so many people was going to be impossible. He'd done the math, but he was adding up in a worldly way. Andrew then emphasized about how small the little boy's offering was. He says, 5 small loaves and 2 small fish. Andrew didn't know that he was actually belittling Jesus. He was belittling a lion's feast, in my opinion. Jesus was actually providing for his pride, his family. A pride is a lion's family, for those who don't know, children. A pride is a lion's family. And you know how lions hunt and bring back something to eat for their cubs and family? Jesus always intended to feed that crowd. And here was Andrew doubting Jesus as our provider. But on the other hand, here was this little boy willingly giving all he had without shame or hesitation. And who obviously, by the way, wasn't too good at worldly mathematics. But his faith was big. To the world, he was like this little common cat who only had enough for himself. But he had a great faith in the lion provider. Jesus didn't see a little boy with a little lunch. Jesus saw his child's great generosity and faith in him. Amen? Our second story is from 2 Kings 5, and 2 Kings 5:1 says, "Naaman was a commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant," which means brave, "soldier, but he had leprosy." Leprosy is like this really yucky skin disease and it makes your skin go really gross. So back in that day, people would be looked down upon if they had leprosy. So it was really bad news for this army commander. 2 Kings 5:2. "Bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife." So this little girl was taken from her home and was now the servant of Naaman's wife. She wasn't considered very important to the world. She was a slave child. Nothing in comparison to the great army commander that Naaman was. 2 Kings 5:3. "The young girl said to her mistress, 'If only my master would see the prophet who was in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy.'" Now, this young girl was talking about God's prophet, Elisha, who she believed could heal Naaman. This speaking up was really a very, very brave move. Here is a slave, someone small and seemingly unimportant, also a child, giving advice for a respected, fully grown adult commander of the army. She could have been in big trouble, kids, for doing this. Could have been in big trouble. But you know what happened? Naaman went to his master, the king of Aram, and told him what the little girl of Israel had said. And he took that journey to be healed. Things didn't happen the way that Naaman thought they were going to, and he had to do a few seemingly silly things like bathe in the Jordan River, which was very dirty, and he didn't like this idea. But he got healed by the help of God's prophet, Elisha. 2 Kings 5, verse 14 to 15 said, Naaman went down, dipped himself in the Jordan River 7 times, as the man of God, Elisha, had told him. And his flesh was healed and became clean like a young boy. Then Naaman and all his servants went back to the man of God, stood before him and said, Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. I love that the scriptures say that Naaman became like a young boy, a great army commander humbled to a young boy. But going back to this unnamed slave girl, who probably worked to do domestic chores for Naaman's wife, a domestic cat to the world. But how bold she was to speak up. How bold she was. Even if she spoke quietly, what a roar. What a roar. If she hadn't been so brave and bold, then Naaman wouldn't have been healed or truly known our God. Proverbs 28:1 says, The wicked flee, though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Everybody say, bold as a lion.
Bold as a lion.
That wasn't very good. Again. Bold as a lion. Okay. A lion's roar can actually be heard from far away. They say 8 kilometres. 8 kilometres. And Ezekiel, I know that you like facts. That's probably from here at church to your house, even further than your house, past your house, because I think your house is about 7.6 k's from church. Okay? So it's further than your house you could hear a lion's roar if they were to roar from here. This little servant girl and the little boy with a little lunch, even though they were small in the world, they made a big difference that went far because they trusted and believed in their big God to do so. We're hearing about it thousands of years later. Even if you are small, children, and I'm talking to all children of God. Even if you are small, he is big. Even if you are weak, he is strong. A big, strong God who has big plans for little old us in his great kingdom. They say cats supposedly have 9 lives. Have you heard of that saying? But our Lion King, our Jesus, our Father, our God is far, far greater. I'm telling you, he topped that number so many times, we can't actually measure it in this world. He's the everlasting King. And that means never ending, children, never ending, who reigns forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And I'll never be able to say enough evers. His Holy Spirit lives in us. Children, remember who you are by remembering the lion that lives in you. You are God's royal sons and daughters, the Lion King, Jesus, the champion, the almighty power and authority over everything is living in you. Matthew 19:14, Jesus said, Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. God made the little fearless caddis, didn't he? He made the little kitty cat. And God fearfully and wonderfully made you. And if you accept him as your Lord and Savior, he can use you for his great, big kingdom plans. Amen. Amen.